Pray. Lord, teach us to pray. From Luke chapter 11, verse 5 to 13, Lord, teach us to pray. Last week, we started this from Luke 11, verse 1. And I said, prayer is a supernatural channel with which God has given to his children to communicate with him. Him being the Heavenly Father. Prayer is a means for us to talk to God to bring the heavenly kingdom here to influence our affairs. So when you pray, you are touching heaven to influence your affairs, your situations, the things that concerns you. Each time you pray, you are exerting, that means you are bringing forth or bringing to bear the kingdom of God with authority to change the atmosphere and everything that is around you. That is why Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come here on earth. So when you are praying, you are touching heaven to bring the kingdom of God here on this earth. And the kingdom of God is supernatural. It is powerful. It is unseen. It's not just the talking that you are making, but the power that comes with it. And when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, it says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. So each time you are praying and say, your kingdom come, you are not just talking, but you are exerting some prayer, some power in your situation to change situation. Is that okay? Yes. So you are not just babbling words. So I want to encourage you, church, that as you pray, you are bringing the power of God into your situation to influence situation, to change situation to your advantage. Yes. For that reason, it is important that we pray. To be effective in prayer, I did say last week that Jesus' teaching here was that one need to receive revelation and understand the fatherhood of God and have an intimate relationship with him. And when you look at Luke chapter 10, verse 22, Jesus Christ had then sent his disciples, and they went and demonstrated the power of God. And during that time that he sent them away, Jesus Christ himself was interceding for them. That means praying to the Father on behalf of these people so that they will be successful. And Jesus is sat up on the throne of God interceding for us to be successful here on this earth. It is in his business. And it is in his interest that his children will be successful. Just like you and me, we have children, or some of you have children, and no one wants your child to be a failure, do you? No. We all want our children to be successful. And God wants us to be successful. So when you have that relationship with him and you pray, God says that that is the method for your success. So when they went out and he was praying, and when they turned back, they were so happy about the power of God that was demonstrated, and many people come to faith in Christ, and the people who are being saved, and the demons that were being cast out, and those who are being healed, and the miracles that they saw. And we read, and turning to the disciples, Jesus said, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son will reveal. So that means Jesus Christ, when you pray, he is in the business of revealing the Father to you, right? He's in the business of opening heaven for you. Because when a door is open, it's not open empty-handed. It's open for you to see something to enter in. So God is opening the heavens for you to enter in. Hallelujah. Amen. God is doing that. And even if you don't want to enter, his seraphims and cherubims and angels of God are ascending and descending. And as they are ascending and descending, that means your prayers are rising with them and the answers are coming to you. So if you are not praying, nothing is ascending, nothing is descending to you. That is what prayer is about. So I find it so strange that people called by the name of God will not pray. How do you expect the heavens to open to you? How do you expect the angels to descend with answers to your prayers? How do you expect your prayers to rise? A prayerless Christian lacks power. Are you hearing that? When you do not pray, you lack power. There's no power. You are a matter of talk. And there's no spiritual energy. Hallelujah. Prayer is about spiritual energy. The revelation of God's fatherhood is key to living a powerful and effective prayer life. Children, as I said last week, have inheritance. They have rights and privileges and a relationship with the Father. So they pray with authority and they don't pray as beggars. Some Christians, their prayer is, oh, Father, please give me this. Oh, Father, please give me. There's time for that. But you're a son, you're a daughter. You approach your parents, if you know them and you have a good relationship with them, you've built it, you go to them with power, authority. Mom, give me this. Dad, I want to go on a school trip. They don't care whether you have the money or not. They're ready for it. That is authority. Are you hearing that? Then I come, oh, Mom, I want to go on a school trip because everyone is going. Who cares? I want the money. They are going on a school trip. And that is exactly what we do. We pray with authority, not as beggars, with power. Children also have the responsibility, of course, to obey their parents and honor their father in order to get what they want. Because if you don't obey your father or parents and honor them, when they have to give you something, it is with a little bit of trepidation. They hold back a bit. So be in that place. Therefore, when one of Jesus' disciples asked him, Lord, teach us to pray, Jesus took them through a teaching moment. A teaching moment. Repeat that after me.
A teaching moment.
Thank you. To let them know that there are levels of prayer. The first level I talked about last week, and I want you to go and listen to the message on our website, is to know and build a relationship with the Heavenly Father and ask for our needs. The first level, we ask for our needs. I'm just saying this to remind you, to bring you up to speed, in case in the course of the week, after eating so much and drinking so much and working so much, you've forgotten exactly what you learned. I just want to bring you up to speed and soon move into the next level. So at the first level, when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, as in, on earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. God wants you to pray for your needs as a first level. If you are not praying for your needs, stop praying for other people's needs, because you don't even know how to pray for yours. How can you? Show me your, if you're a naked man or your name is naked, show me your name. If you promise me to give me a coat to wear. Your name is naked, so you don't have none. You understand that? Exactly. So you have to make sure that you have a proof of what you can do. You praying for a result in your life so that you can pray for somebody. That's why most of them, when someone comes and says, pray for me, say, yes, I'll pray for you. They go home and they forget. Some of you even write it down as small groups and you go home and you even forgot where you put the book or the paper. You don't pray because you haven't learned to pray for yourself yet. You got to exercise that. So the first level of prayer, the Our Father that we all recite, is for us to learn to pray for our needs. Because if you look through it, it's all about us. So learn to pray for your need. Prayer at this level is an obligation. Shall we repeat that? Obligation. We are obliged for every child of God to pray. Because when Jesus started, he said, when you pray, every translation that you look at, it says, when you pray, not if you pray, or if you choose to, or if you want. It says, when you pray. The word when brings an expectation that you will pray. So, pray a lot for yourself. Now, let's move on to the second level. We've gone to the Our Fathers, right? So you have to go and listen to last week's message, and I expanded a little bit more. Now, the reading today focuses on the second level of prayer, which I call intercession. So once you've learned to pray for yourself, you have to move or choose to move to the next level. And he said to them, which of you shall have, or in New International Version says, supposing, or which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to me, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence or shameless audacity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Jesus wants his followers to cross the line from prayer for self into intercession. When you've learned to pray for yourself, then you can pray for others. Because otherwise your prayer is ineffective because you don't know God as a father. So your prayers are empty words. That is what we call by vain babbling, vain repetition. Because there is no energy, there is no power, there is nothing. Your prayer is vain. Vain means nothingness, right? There's nothing in it. Nothing to show for. So don't have a vain repetition. So learn to get into your closet. That is the account of Matthew chapter 6. It says when you pray, go to your closet. Doesn't mean that you can't pray on the street. No. It's saying you want intimacy with God. You got to learn to develop that intimacy with God. Go to your closet. In your closet, I mean, you have intimacy, isn't it? Those who have no shame do everything. But you have intimacy. For that reason, go to your room and shut a door and develop that. But then God, after you've done that, then you are getting to another level. That other level is intercession. A clear line that implies a challenge to your maturity. This will show whether you are matured as a Christian and you're mature in prayer. It also requires that we disconnect from ourselves to make it possible to see the needs of others. So once you've known that you live in home and you know that you are properly clothed, you know that you are properly dressed up, you know that you are covered by God, you prayed about all the problems that you're going to face, you prayed about safety, you prayed about your daily bread, you prayed about, those who hate you, and you prayed to forgive those who you hate. You've done all these things. And now you're going out. And if somebody says, pray for me, you don't even think about yours. You are ready because you're already equipped to do that. Are you with me? But if you are not, you start in cold. And you know when it's cold, the house is cold, it takes a while to heat it. We have a van or a car that we use, a big one. And my children sometimes say that this car, when you sit in it, it only gets warm when you get home. You want the heat when it's cold, and this guy takes so long. And what I subsequently found out that the whole sort of things have been turned off in the car for whatever reason. So that's why. But it's now it's different. Okay, so when you sit in it, you get warm. So it is like that car I'm describing, that it only gets warm when you get home. It's too late. So if you haven't started warming it up from the beginning, on the drive, you go cold. And by the time that you are ready to actually get engaged in the supernatural, the event has lapsed and the enemy has won the victory. Hallelujah. Yeah. So when Jesus Christ talked about prayer, he did not stop there. They asked him, teach us to pray. And suddenly, Jesus did not stop but moved on to another level. In the account of Luke, you see that it's a smooth transition. He did not stop. He said, but deliver us from evil. Then he said, which of you? A friend will come to him. So he is talking about something that we need to know today. When God satisfies our basic spiritual, material, and emotional need, it is time to cross over the line that separates personal prayer and intercession and enter into prayer for the needs of others. This is the first step leading into spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. We'll talk about that later, probably not today. So intercession, therefore, is to stand before God's presence on behalf of others. Simply put, to pray for other people. Are you getting it? Intercession is praying for other people. That is to stand in the gap and ask the Father on behalf of others to supply their needs. You are standing in the gap. I'm standing in a gap here. So that we intercede or pray for other people for God to supply their needs. Note here that the invitation to cross the line of prayer intercession began with a question. Supposing, according to NIV, New King James, another translation says, which of you? That is a question, isn't it? And that question needs to be answered. Luke 11:5, and he said, which of you? So, Jesus' words clearly stated that we have the option to choose to do it or not. We have the option to choose to pray for the needs of others or not. An option. In verse 2 of Luke chapter 11, Jesus presented prayer as an obligation and an expectation when you pray. But in verse 5, this kind of prayer is presented as an option for those who will choose to do so. So if you choose to. So many Christians are happy with the first level. Many more even don't even climb the ladder at all. They just go in and come out. Their only prayer is when they come here and there's some prayer. If there's no prayer, no prayer. The only time that they get into prayer, maybe when they have problems. And you panic because you haven't cultivated the idea of knowing God as a Father. So your prayer is faithless. There's no faith in your prayer because you don't even believe that to do any result, to achieve any result. So you phone the prayer leader, please phone, pray for me. Small group leader, please pray for me. Your pastor to pray for you. Anybody you see, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Church, pray for me. People, pray for me. Everybody. Because you are faithless. You don't know God as a Father. So you don't even know if you answer your prayers. You don't think your prayer is powerful enough. The reality is it is not powerful because you haven't touched heaven and you haven't influenced your environment. We have to. Please, can you help me to get into the right place? Yeah? Thank you. When all the building works is done, there'll be a lot more space and we can go down and go use the toilet and everything. It's going to be so nice. This helps us understand why, as we ascend into higher level and greater levels of prayer, intercession and warfare, less people become involved to say yes to God. You understand that? Prayer ministry is never big. Except one place that I've seen the prayer ministry is massive. At this second level of prayer, you are asking from your friend. That is on behalf of a friend. And there's an urgency in this. There's urgency here, and you have to make the sacrifice. Say, which of you that a friend will come to him at midnight? Are you hearing that? At midnight, we all are sleeping, aren't we? And a friend comes and knocks at your door. For you to get up is a big, big sacrifice, isn't it? So somehow along the line, the prayer for others or pray and stand in the gap to pray for the needs of others first begins with a sacrifice. A willingness, which of you, a choice you make to get up. If you come and knock at my door at midnight, I can choose to open or not to open. If I'm in some countries and you knock at midnight, I don't open because I know the intention. So you choose to open or not to open. There's an urgency here. The person come at midnight and you have nothing to give. An urgent situation. That means sometimes at unsociable hours and inconvenient hours, you are called upon to stand and pray for the needs of others. And the friend, you being the friend of that friend, you go to your friend for help. And your friend is God. Because you've cultivated the habit from the first level of prayer to know him as a father. And therefore you've cultivated the idea that he's even become your friend. So he knows you and you know him. And you know that that friend has a lot. And this time he's saying that you have nothing to give. My brothers and sisters, there's nothing that you can give to anybody unless somebody asks for money, a lot of money, and you've got it too. Otherwise, you have nothing to give to someone who knocks at your door at night. Maybe they don't want food. Maybe it's their son or daughter who's distressed. Maybe they themselves are distressed and in trouble and they need someone to stand with them. Maybe they're going to lose their job. And what can you do? You're going to be the director over there to give them the job? You can't do that. But you know a friend. And that friend is God. You know someone because you have practiced to know him, have a relationship with him. So your friend who has come to you and said, pray for me, then you know the solutions. That you go to your friend, your heavenly father, and go to him because he says he has a lot to give. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He has a lot to give. The friend represents God. The three loaves are symbolic of the fullness of his deity and trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Which of you go to a friend and ask for three loaves? So you are going to God, the Father, God, the Son, God, Holy Spirit, because each has its function and they all have something to give. So you go into them. There are things each one of them will have to bestow upon us. They have their specific roles in prayer and giving answers. Therefore, we approach the right person according to our needs. Sometimes you have to approach the Holy Spirit and pray a lot in the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you have to pray in the name of Jesus to really allow the name of Jesus to be mighty and powerful in that person's life. Sometimes you just approach the Father and say, Father, please let it happen. Amen. The other person mentioned by Jesus is a friend in need. A friend in need. For whom we go to our friend's house and ask for the bread. Intercession has to do with seeking God in order to get bread for a friend. You're asking God for provision for somebody. The person has come, distressed, midnight, needing help, hungry. And you need to go to your friend who has the provision. That is why you learn, give us this day our daily bread. Because he's the supplier of your daily bread. Amen. He's got plenty. Amen. Because if he fed 2 to 3 million people for 40 years on the wilderness, day and night, 7 days a week, you think he can't feed just your friend? This is how powerful our God is. The Bible said they walk on the wilderness for 40 years. Their clothes did not wear off. Their shoes, their heels did not wear off. They drank. They ate. When they want meat, they have meat. When they want mashed potatoes, they get it. Whatever they want, they was getting it, right? Even they were asking for onions and garlic. Look at that. They were so desperate, right? But I just want you to understand that even the minutest things about us, God is interested. Amen. In providing for us. And this is what intercession is about. Somebody who probably at a point that cannot do these things for themselves for whatever reason. Sometimes we come under tremendous pressure and sometimes the strength to stand to pray even eludes us, even though we may be children of God. And we need a friend to ask from the friend to give us those loaves. Amen. We need that. Hallelujah. Amen. Where were we? Therefore, then, the other person, as I said, mentioned by Jesus as a friend in need for whom we go to our friend to ask for bread. And the session has to do with seeking God in order to get bread for someone else. This compels you to want to do something about the need at hand because it is urgent. So you are compelled to do that. Here, prayer is presented in an atmosphere of friendly petition. So when we talk about intercession, you are petitioning to your friend in a friendly way. I'm coming to something that probably some of you may be a bit surprised about it. It is not war. When you are interceding, you are not in a warfare. You are not battling. You are asking from a friend because Jesus Christ was not talking about war there. If you go and you're going to knock at your friend's door at midnight, are you going to fight? You are not. It's you who needs bread, so what are you going to fight for? You go and knock nicely and ask for that bread. So it's a friendly petition, not war. No violence here, no counterattacks here. All retaliations are non-existent. You are not binding the devil here. In an intercession that Jesus Christ is talking about, this is not a time to bind the devil. This is a time to ask from your friend and give to a friend. So there's no point. I bind the devil who is holding his job. No devil is holding no job. You just concentrate on, Father, you hear the prayers. You hear the need. You hear the agony. You hear the threat. Oh, Heavenly Father, please, just change the atmosphere. Let something happen. I want this person's situation changed because I'm coming to ask you for bread for that person because the person cannot lose his or her livelihood, which is the bread. And therefore, I'm asking you, if you're not giving me this bread, then open that door for the next bread to come. Amen. I worked 27 years in the secular world. There was never a time that I was not in a job. When I moved from one job, I go to the other. There was only one instant that 3 months I did not have a job. And first 1 month, I wanted to take a break. Then I go to 2 months, I'm thinking, hey, what's happening? I upped my prayer life. By the time 3 months was up, I was in a job much bigger, much more. French people say d'argent. D'argent. Well, thank you. Say again? L'argent. Oh, okay, whatever you say. Now, it's getting sophisticated. Let me stay with English. Money. Yeah. That I can't go wrong. So you are asking for that. And I just want you to hear this. That is a prayer of petition for a friend to our friend who is God. At intercessory level, we also find the results are not immediate. The results are not immediate. For most part, the answer takes a while to manifest. This may sound as if our friend is not interested in our prayers and petition. Check the Bible passage that we've read carefully and look at the contents of it. We will say that God uses this level to train us in perseverance. Because the person went to the friend and said, which of you, when you go to the friend, he said, go away, I'm with my children and I'm sleeping. That means they don't get an immediate answer, is it? But then, as the person stood at the door and kept knocking, there's perseverance and the door will be opened. So you are being trained in perseverance. Sometimes some of us, we want quick fix. Because we are not praying and releasing the spiritual atmosphere, there's so much blockages and dark clouds, that when we come to pray, we don't see the way out. And then we panic and want quick answers. It doesn't come. And then we start binding the devil. Wrong strategy. An intercession. Because there's nobody to bind. The devil is not preventing you. It's just that you haven't learned to pray at the first level to know God. And you don't know how to pray. So he's trained us in perseverance and preparing us for what awaits in the future. And he does this in a friendly atmosphere of intercession. Hence, we have to pray over and over again for the same need. Perseverance. It's a character virtue that helps us to succeed. Yes? Those who persevere, they succeed. The SAS says, he who dares wins. If you're a business person and you start, and the first time that you don't make profit, you wind up, you will never be a business person. Are you with me? When you go to a job and the first time you go, they don't make you a manager and you get upset and you go, you are not ready to work. You probably want to live on social for the rest of your life. And when they cut it down, you get upset too. You have to start from somewhere and persevere. So perseverance is a character issue. God uses training in perseverance to develop our faith. As you persevere, you learn to trust God more because you are hanging on. I will not let go. The person went to a friend for a friend and he did not turn away because he was being told that I am asleep, my children are in bed with me, and therefore I cannot get up. The person stood and persevered. So you are being trained to believe that a door will be open for you. You are being trained to have faith in God. The parable of the persistent widow, as recorded in Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8, tells us that there was a judge who, the Bible says, was an unjust judge, and then the widow wanted to have justice and went to this person, please give me justice. And the widow persisted and persevered to the point that he pestered the judge and just said, look, even though I don't fear God because of the person's persistence, if I do not give that person the answer, the person will wear me out. But thank God we can't wear God out. God says, wear me out if you want to. I was going to use an example with my kids, but let me stop now. Hallelujah. Yeah, when I go, when I'm being beaten, you'll be there. In verse 8, Jesus says, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth? Will he really find faith on earth? This was a persevering story, a parable that was told. That we have to persevere, because I start by saying Jesus told this story in Luke chapter 18 that men always ought to pray and not faint. That means it's absolutely necessary that we pray and we do not give up or cave in. We ought, it's an English word. Press on. Sometimes he takes that faith to its limit, waiting for the last minute and last hour. But some people's miracles are just around the corner. But since they have prayed for a long time and not had the answer required, they become discouraged and stop interceding for their spouses, their children, their homes, their church, their work, their calling for God, of God on their lives and their job situation or even business situation because they've had so much waiting. So they give up. I will encourage you that continue. Go to that friend on behalf of your friend. That wife of yours is not coming to faith, but you got to pray. I know some people who have prayed for more than 10 years and their spouses have come to faith. I've seen some have taken it longer. Abraham took him 25 years before he had a child. In between, he tried to have his own agenda. It didn't work out. We have to persist and don't give up. Your miracle is always on the way. Sometimes there can be other obstructions. But then because we wear out, we stop praying, we stop persisting, we stop pushing the boundaries, and somehow along the line, what happens is that our prayers like, start, stop, go back, start, stop, go back, start, stop. You have an issue. There is someone in your home whom you love so much and you want something to happen. And you have to ask your friend for that person that you love, a friend. The person that you have a relationship with. Why will you do it one day and stop till the next week? Or stop until the next prayer and fasting time? These are lives to be rescued. These are situations to be turned around. So you will persist continuously until something happens. See, Christians have been smart these days. They say, push, pray until something happens. It becomes a word, pray until something happens, but they don't pray until nothing happens. If you are not praying, nothing is happening. Sometimes even as you pray, the situation becomes even worse. That's the enemy's strategy, to discourage you. They say it's not working. Pray.
Amen.
That's what Jesus says. Amen. Which of you will go to a friend at midnight? That means sometimes you have to get up at midnight. Sometimes you have to get up at unsocial hours and pray. Amen. Saturate your home with prayers.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes the situation is such that you can't sleep. Instead of lying in your bed and worrying about the situation, get up. Go to your kitchen. If there is nowhere to pray, go to your kitchen. Go to your garage. Go to your shed. Wherever there's space, just go there and start screaming. If not, put on your winter coat, hit the street. I can assure you, nobody will kill you. You are praying, so whoever wants to kill you will be scared of you. Anyway, they'll be thinking you want to kill them. Just walk the street on sociable hours and pray. There's a sacrifice to be made here. If you have prayed for a long time, a very long time, and the prayer, the answer is not coming, please don't give up, but continue to present your petition before our friend. Let us continue to intercede with tenacity. That means with resolve, daring, insistence, persistence, pestering, and shameless audacity. I like that, shameless audacity. You are not ashamed, but you've got audacity. When somebody says you've got audacity, it's as if you are putting your chest forward. I dare you. I'm coming up. I am coming.
Amen.
I am praying. I don't care. I want the answer. I am daring to get the answer.
Amen.
Shameless audacity. You are bold in perseverance. You are undaunted. You have this firmness in order to provide bread for our friend. Let us declare our petition to the end. Without hesitation, until our friend gives us the bread for the sake and for those we ask for. Jesus is teaching here that one must persist in prayer until you have the answer, which will come from above. There should be an impudence. It's a big word. Some kind of boldness. Some kind of demand here. So at this level, you are thinking about impudence. I mean, that means somebody is like, you have the audacity to come and ask me this. That means you are actually taking a bold step that they don't expect at all, but you are confident that you want it. I remember when I was working in the, out there, I'm always kind of a cautious person. And one day, one of my assistants, a big job came. I think financial controller. He put in an application. I'm thinking, what? You're crazy. You don't know anything. But I was so pleased that he did. He did not get that job. But at the interview panel, you know what we told him? You are very brave in what you do. And one day, you get that post. And today, that person has got that post somewhere else. The person was brave. I don't know whether the person was praying or whatever. But he showed some impudence. He came to demand a job that we think he wasn't qualified, didn't have the experience for, but he came to demand it. So if you have an impudence, that means you are actually making a demand on something with boldness. That is what it means. So at this level, the person who stood there was making a demand with boldness until he got the answer. What happens when we stand firm and persevere and make demands here? As you persist in prayer at this second level, you soon realize that your prayers becoming a demanding as of right. Because you are persistent and persistent, persistent, that means that now you get to a point that you said, I'm not going anywhere. I want it. Are you with me? So you are demanding as if it's your right. So the person who knocks at the door was demanding as of right what he or she believes that he need to get and give to that friend. Because the person is a friend, You are making that demand. If the person is not a friend, you will not go and knock at the door, is it? At that time of the day. So you are demanding as of right. You have the right to now demand from God. So the word that will come in, I'm just giving an interpretation to a word in the Bible that many people probably don't understand. You are making a demand as if something is due with all urgency, diligence, pestering, resolve, firmness, determination, and decisive perseverance to lay claim to the petition, request or supplication until the end is in your hand. So let me read this bit and I'll round it up. So after Jesus told this story, now we're looking at verse 9 to 13. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, Amplified version, which Bramah likes so much, says, and keep on asking. Because the asks, this second ask is a present continuous word. Anyone who asks with an X. Is that right? The same there? Because NIV sometimes does its own thing. Oh, there, with an S. Thank you. Amplify said, and keep on asking, receives. And he who seeks and keep on seeking, finds. And to him who knocks and keep on knocking, it will be open. If a son asks for bread from any among you, let me read what you got. 11. I like the word again. Which of you, fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? They ask him, Lord, teach us to pray. And look at the angle Jesus Christ is going to. He's unfolding so many things about prayer that we need to get. And today I'll finish the second level of prayer. Give me a few minutes and I'll stop. And we'll pray. So here, the ask here is a continuous. You are asking and you are demanding as of right. Because which of you? You have a father in heaven. I told you earlier on, children have rights. So the word is demand, ask of right. Seek and ask as if something is due. Seek as if you've lost something. If you've lost something precious, you will look for it, isn't it? Until you find it. And if you are knocking at the door, you knock until it was open. Yesterday I was at home, well, Friday, one of these days, I think, Friday, I was at home and getting ready to come to church. And I heard a doorbell ring. I thought I did, and I'm sure I did. So when I went down, someone was knocking at the door, boom, 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 boom. I'm thinking, what the hell is that? And I didn't say anything. The person opened the door and said, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't think you heard it. And I'm thinking, I heard. But what I'm trying to bring to your attention is that the person knocked until the door. So because the person realized there's a car on the drive, there must be someone in the house. There must have been a light on as well. So you have to ask and keep on knocking until that door is open. If the person pressed the bell and went away, I wouldn't have been there, is it? The person knocked until the door was open. So God guarantees that we will receive what we ask if we persevere until the end. Jesus is the bread of life. As he says in John chapter 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. Therefore, he will not give a stone, or Satan want us to be caught in legalism due to rigidity, custom, rituals, and coldness. Stone means, legalism. Sometimes some of us are cold. Some of us are interested in religion. Everything that way, that way, that way, that way, that way. We worry about things not being perfect. We worry about things not going right. We worry about this. That's rigidity, legalism. It doesn't take us anywhere. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 that do not worry. Even the birds of the air are clothed. They get fed. So will not your heavenly Father provide for you? Are you with me? Stop being rigid. It doesn't mean that you can't look for excellence. Look for excellence, of course. Because if God created a universe and threw everything all over the place, and as you go, comets and whatever, what do we call those stars? Those big things. Earth is what? Planets, yes, thank you. You guys are smart. If planets are colliding with each other, where would we be? There's an orderliness in things, so God is interested in that. But what I'm trying to tell you is that let us see what Jesus Christ is talking about, rigidity, legalism. And when you get into that place, that means Spirit of God is not at work. And God will never give a serpent a symbol of Satan or his demon. Somebody said, oh, you don't know when you pray, and you don't know if you have to always say, oh, if it is your will, give it to me. If it is not your will, then what? Because Satan can give you something. Satan will give you nothing when you are praying and interceding on behalf of somebody, right? We have been given authority over these things. Lord will not allow the devil to give us anything satanic or false instead of receiving a genuine gift. The reason why Jesus sent his Holy Spirit down is to empower us to destroy the works of the evil one. And we know 1 John chapter 1, chapter 3, verse 8 tells us that I have come to destroy the works of the evil one. In the same way the Spirit helps our weaknesses, as Romans says. I'll read this last verse. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That is true wordless groans, sighs and groaning too deep for words. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with his will. Romans 8, 26 and 27. So at this point of intercession, praying in the Holy Spirit is a big deal. Are you hearing that? It is a big deal. Because for you to pray longer period and persist and continue, what helps you sometimes? Remember I told you about the three bread and three loaves? You have to let the Spirit take over and pray through you. Who searches the hearts and the minds of God and understand what the situation is. Sometimes you wake up at night and you feel that God said, pray for Dwayne, for God's sake. Get up and pray. You don't know what rain is going to. You can't call Dwayne at that night, time of the day. You don't know even where he is at. But please pray. Pray, pray, pray. And as you pray, the Spirit takes over and the Spirit knows what Dwayne is going on and what to pray for. And he prays. That is why in this church, we say that discipleship also begins with sin and its consequences. Repentance and remission of sins. Water baptism by immersion. And baptism by the Holy Spirit. That is when you become a disciple. Otherwise, you're just a follower. And you just turn your back on Jesus every now and then. That is the discipleship pathway that we as a church are going. And everyone who really wants to be a disciple of Christ, I challenge you today to journey with us. Otherwise, you'll be caught in legalism and the spirit of Greece will get you. So today, I will say this. We have to ask for a friend for a friend. Shall we stand?